Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery.
This begins in the kitchen. Did I hear someone say amen? Very good. I'll give you the bottom line. Because love is an all-day affair. Now, ladies, I know you'll find this hard to believe, but some men in other churches really think that women just are ready all the time, okay? But I know the men here are very sensitive and realise that, in fact, we need to work hard as men to connect with those we love. So this book is for you. Rick's there. Rick, could you run that book down to that young man down the back? It's a great read that will help you. I'm trusting you're married. I hope you all know he's married. Rick, you can't have it. We know where you're on fire. That sounds very loud for me, but that's okay. They will sort that out, I hope. There's a story of two Buddhist monks who come to a river, and it's raging, the river's raging. And as they walk up to the river, they see a young Japanese woman standing by the side, dressed in a lovely kimono. And she's actually quite concerned because she's fearful if she goes across the river, she'll get caught out in the currents. And so Buddhist monks, being generous and kind, one of them says to the lady, would you like a hand? And she said, that'd be great. So he picks her up, puts her on his shoulders, and walks across the river and puts her down the other side. And the other two monks continue on their way to the monastery. Later on that night, though, the other monk says to this guy, look, I've got a bone to pick with you. Do you know, as Buddhists, we've taken vows that we won't talk to women, we won't touch women, and you picked her up on your shoulders. And he said to his brother, he said, I put her on my shoulders, but I put her down on the other side of the river. You've been carrying her in your mind all day. Now, I really want us to think on that, because I actually think this is where Jesus is coming at when we think about these issues of adultery, which lead me to have a conversation with you this morning about divorce. Major issues in our society today, we all know that. Probably some 20 years ago, I would be able to say to you that I did not know anyone who was separated or divorced. We could all acknowledge in the last 20 years there has been a transition, a total change. And my guess is there are people here today in a congregation this size that have suffered, that have experienced pain, either personally, in families, or indeed, let me take a step forward, even right now, today, there are people who are suffering in their relationships. And that's the issue of the thought life, isn't it? Yesterday I celebrated with Rhonda 23 years of married life, and as I look back at that married life, I think I've learnt more in the last 3 to 5 years than probably in the first 10 to 15 years. Because you know, you're young, you're in love, and you're all gung-ho, and then children come in and, oh, wow, what a change. But as our children have grown and as I've learnt and listened, I realise there is so much more growth that I have to undergo. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, look, I'm 50 now or I'm 60 and I'm beyond the issue of lusting after a woman or a man. I love the story of a young guy who was really concerned about the sins of the flesh. And what he did, he decided to go and talk to a priest about this. And he said, "Father, Father, what can I do? When is it going to be safe for me to actually not worry about the sins of the flesh?" And the old priest looked at him and said, "Well, in my case, I'd have to be dead in the ground about 3 or 4 days before I'm safe." Now, I think probably for most men, or I'll speak for myself, for me, that's probably true. But Jesus comes as he did in the first century and as he's doing this morning and directly confronts us with our attitude, our mind, our hearts. Where are the things we are going with our thoughts? The areas that we shouldn't go. Now, you and I both know the reality that you could be married to someone for a long time and you could be sitting with them right now. But we are good at covering up, aren't we, our thoughts. They might not know really what you think about them or something else. They don't know where your mind has been yesterday, this morning, in the last week. Have you been away on work? Have you been with other people? And we don't tend to come home at night, do we, and share, "Wow, honey, I saw this beautiful woman today. She was so gorgeous." Would that be wise, ladies, for a man to come and do that? I think not. Now, if we don't, and you know we see all sorts of God's creation, including people all day, so they're in our heads, they're in our hearts, so what the heck are we doing with those thoughts, my friends? Are you putting something else in your mind to fill those thoughts or those areas? Or are you thinking on it? And so Jesus has got some tough teaching as we think about this. I've got my Bible opened at Matthew 5. I hope you've got your Bible opened. There's a lovely saying I always love, that it's better to eat off your own plate than someone else's plate. So when I come to church, I bring my Bible. So Matthew 5 says this, "You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now that was revolutionary back then. It's revolutionary today. It is so true. You see, our world goes with the theory, Ian, it doesn't hurt to look. I've had so many, many men tell me that. No one knows. Well, we think no one knows. But we forget God is actually knowing what's going on inside. It doesn't hurt to look. I've heard young men say that. Teenagers say that. I think Jesus is going to say to us, it does hurt to look. And worse, there's a consequence, depending on what you're doing with what you're looking at. At the moment, our world and the world we live in is just full of images, isn't it? Movies. Who loves movies? Fantastic, aren't they? Have you seen Bruce Almighty? If you haven't, you should repent and go and see it. Now, I love it so much, I own a copy. So if you haven't seen it, you can borrow the copy today. But movies, images, all the time, magazines, newspapers. And no matter what's being sold, there's stuff there with either the male or the female body. And sometimes I'm so slow, I'll say to my wife, "What? I don't get that ad. What's that one?" Because all I'm seeing is a woman or something. Oh, they're selling a watch. And I think, what's the connection? There's no connection. But advertisers know. Let's lure them in. Let's give them a little bit so what, they can nibble on it mentally and then let the desire fester. But men, again, I want to speak to you fairly harshly this morning. How many of you seen the beer ad, it's the Heineken ad. I must admit, I do love it. And here's a lady, it's some beautiful music, she's relaxed sitting in this tub. Have you seen this ad? Oh, it couldn't be any better. I'm thinking, oh, you know, this is just wonderful. And then a particular style of Aussie male comes running in and jumps in the water, doesn't he? And opens a can of beer and she looks at him and he goes, "What? What have I done wrong?" And now there's a new version of the ad. Have you seen the new version? She's in the swimming pool. I think she's on a beanbag or something. And what does he do? He comes, the same thing, jumps in the water and she goes flying out. And again, the good Aussie response, "What? What have I done wrong?" And so let me be so bold as to say I think we men often are a bit slow on the uptake. Or some men are slow on the uptake. But we've got to be aware that there are images out there that are not helpful. That are detrimental to not just our married life, but to us individually, and worse than that, Jesus says, have you not heard? Don't you know? Don't you understand? We are trying to glorify God with our lives. We're supposed to go out into the world and be salt and light. Have you heard this recently? We're supposed to go out and shine. I know the community right now is in pain. I know this personally. There are people struggling in relationships, in married life. There are people going through terrible situations with each other. And God calls His community to go out there and be different. And I like to say 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, the Christian church was different. And yet we are struggling too today. Let's be honest, we are struggling. And there's people here today, I would guess, who are struggling right now today. And maybe even wondering, another day, how much longer can I put up with this? Another week? Another month? Jesus challenges people. Whoever looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in her heart. And we need to be aware of that. The commandments, what was the law there? Our hard-heartedness. The seventh commandment says you shall not commit adultery. Okay? It puts very high the sanctity of married life. The sixth commandment, you shall not kill, puts the sanctity of what? Of life and death. Way up there. We should not take life. If you want to get married, realize what you're doing. Jesus is not naive and idolizing marriage. What he would say is the institution of marriage is made in heaven. Very different to saying marriage is made in heaven. Heck, when I got married 23 years ago, I don't think I had a clue what I was doing. To stand there in the altar before, you know, with my brothers and me, we got there about 10 to 1, thinking, oh, you know, my wife will be late. And about 5 to 1, she got here early, and I thought, gee, she's serious. She's going to go through with this. And I stood there, young and fit and virile, and my beautiful bride walks down. I've got to say anything. And I signed my life away, and I'll jump through 15 hoops, and for better or worse, in sickness and in health, I'm standing there 23 years ago saying that when my wife walks in the door, my heart and my mind, she is the only woman for me forever. Full stop. Did I know that then? Was I ready for the challenges and the temptations? No. And through God's grace only, can I stand here before you and say that she's still putting up with me 23 years later? And you don't know what it's like to be married to God, and you should give thanks every day for that. Anyway, that's another story. You see, we are so busy in trying to find loopholes to get out of relationships. You know, don't covet your neighbour's wife. On Friday night on the ABC, they had a program with James O'Loughlin, and people were ringing up about religious comments. So you can't covet your neighbour's wife. Can you covet your neighbour's husband? Is that okay? What about the neighbour's wife who lives three blocks down the road? Is that okay? You see, we're very good at trying to, we have a law, don't we? How do we find a loophole? How do we work ourselves in such a situation like Bruce did? She was so strong. It wasn't me. She was the kisser. I'm the kissee or something. Don't blame me. And men are very good, aren't we, at giving excuses and reasons while we've been caught out. And then finally you realise, I've got to fess up here. I blew up. I made a mistake. Jesus wants us to know the serious nature about our hearts and what we do. The rot starts in our minds. The rot starts there, and we need to put the brakes and the checks on then. We all look at beautiful things of God's creation every day, do we not? I'd like to think yes. Every time we're only new in the area and we drive down Glenhaven Road, and there's a beautiful outlook there, and I see the mounds. It's wonderful. Depending on the time of the day you go down, it's just gorgeous. I go up to Castle Hill Towers, and there's images and men and women. There's all sorts of things going on. Jesus doesn't say you shouldn't look. Ian, live your life like this. No. What do you do with the look? Does the look become a leer? As in, I'm looking for 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes. Look, leer, 3 minutes. My friends, we're getting caught up with the object of our desire. our hearts and our minds potentially start to desire those things, and we're getting in lustful thoughts. And we need to put checks on that way back then. It's not the lustful look, remember, that causes the sin in the heart, but the sin in the heart that causes the lustful look. Our hearts are corrupt. We are corrupt before God. And as a result of that, when we look, things, all sorts of things can happen. And the heart is where the seeds of this sin is fed more and more. And we see that in our world today. But there is, temptation is not the sin. You can be tempted. In Matthew 4, Jesus was tempted, and you can turn your look somewhere else. You can fill your heart and mind with other things. I must admit, since having seen the Passion with our leader, John, in the last week, I've had lots of thoughts about lots of things, but I keep turning my mind towards the suffering of Christ. And it's been very powerful for me just as a Christian, regardless of what those who don't know Christ will do. And I must admit, at the end of the movie, I said to John, I actually felt like I needed to go down to the front and repent, just as a Christian. Because of my attitudes, my heart attitudes, my thoughts, the things that I've thought about, when I see what Christ didn't understand in its full pain, and can I use the word, and glory of Christ's death, I realise how much I've shamed Christ inwardly. And Jesus is saying, my friends, this is serious stuff. How serious? This is how serious it is. Verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. That's how serious it is. Do you remember the story of David in 2 Samuel? We read this: one evening David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam?" And on it went. David was not wrong to look. He went on the top of his building, and there she was. He started to act, though, on what he saw. And what was the terrible consequence of that? Do you remember? Her husband, she's already a married woman, he was sent off and he was killed. He saw, he inquired, and he acted. Jesus saying, my friends, do anything you can. Don't take it literally. What's the point of gouging out your right eye and leaving it there, or cutting off your right hand? He knows it's an inward problem. But he's saying it's so serious, do all that you can. Otherwise, what is at stake? The kingdom of God. Entrance into the kingdom of God. Going into heaven. Do you want to live your life and be cast into hell forever by thinking it doesn't matter? An older, mature Christian woman used to give advice to young men all the time when they were talking about these things. And she'd say, for Pete's sake, go and have a cold shower. And often, some plain speaking is very helpful. And especially from older and wiser ones. And we all have a role to play here. But take it seriously. Are you right now in a situation, I don't know where you work or your life, but are you right now in a situation you shouldn't be in? Men, are you right now hanging out with some women you shouldn't be? Men, are you thinking right now the woman you've been married to for 10, 5, 15, 25, 1 minute? Are you saying to yourself, she doesn't listen to me? It hasn't worked out. You found someone at work that is listening to you now. You're talking to. Are you emailing someone you shouldn't? Are you thinking, no one knows? Are we just thinking it doesn't matter? And therefore not giving your attention to the heart of the problem. You're ignoring it and letting it fester and letting it grow. And my friends, if that is happening, the day is going to come when it's going to blow up. And can I, even without knowing you, be so honest to say, you will get caught, you will be found out, and your world will change. And if you're in that situation right now, you have the running the risk of losing everything. And when I say everything, I'm in a relationship. That's all that matters to me. In the movie Bruce Almighty, do you remember what Grace wanted? A relationship. Not all the stuff that goes with it. So it's serious stuff. And we need to think about that. We need to be aware it's not just the outward action, it's the inner action. I heard the story about a minister walking down the street with his wife and 12-year-old son. And he saw two young ladies in bikinis walking by. And he said, "That's disgusting." And his wife said, "Well, if it's so disgusting, why were you looking?" And his son, quick as a flash, piped up, "I think Daddy likes being disgusted." We have to be careful, and ain't it the truth, that the little ones can see right through us. While we, as we're grown up and big and strong, can pretend and hide our affections and our hearts. Don't do it. Proverbs 5:8 speaks to men about treasuring the wife of your youth. Have you sung Van Morrison's song to her lately? "Have I told you lately that I love you?" All the men put their hand up. They're all singers, aren't we? No. All the romantics put your hand up. All the men who are romantics put your hand up. Not one romantic male in here. Good grief. This man down the front. Praise the Lord, there is one romantic in this congregation. Well, men, I hope you actually are treasuring the wife of your youth. I hope you're doing all the right things, telling her how much you appreciate her. And especially in the area of listening. Isn't it great, ladies, how men listen? Isn't it wonderful how you're talking to a male and they're just so in tune with what you're saying? You know, and you know they've got, you know you've got their undivided attention. Why? Because they're physically in front of you. Isn't that great? Just because there's a car gone past it or something out here, you know, "What's that, honey?" You know, it's just, we've got to work much harder in those areas of relationships. Otherwise, we lose a lot, and worse than that, otherwise, we will go straight to hell. So don't pamper your desires. Don't flirt with them. Don't enjoy a nibble. It will lead you to dangerous waters. Look, I sometimes wonder, are the victims of sin, are they passive victims? Did Bruce in any way contribute to the kissing? He's making a phone call from the bedroom. A beautiful woman walks in. Mate, the alarm bells are going off straight away. Bruce, don't talk, run. Don't engage in conversation. Because otherwise, the consequences are far worse. And this shocked the disciples of the day. Why did it shock them? Because women were objects. Women weren't treasured. Women weren't valued. If you had a first century garage sale, you'd put your woman in there if you didn't like it. They had no rights. They were not equal with men. Isn't it great, ladies, how it's changed today? I would cry too, if I was a woman. It hasn't changed. We are horrified. And ladies, you should be horrified, but men treat the women like that. And again, don't treat women like that, blokes. Treat women as younger sisters. And if you're in a marriage situation and treating your wife like a mere object, man, you need some serious therapy. Some serious talking to by our senior minister, John Gray, who's very good at that. So call him during the week and you get that straightened out. But we've got to be aware that we can get to crisis proportions outside the church and inside the church. And how do we know that? Well, Jesus pushes it further, my friends. If you're not unhappy with me yet, or if you're not feeling uncomfortable with what Jesus is saying, let's push it as far as we can go. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. This is very hard. It's my first sermon in this church. Very hard. Jesus is reminding us about the reality of marriage. When you get married, it is for life. Full stop. Malachi 2 talks about how God is at pain when divorce comes into the world. Deuteronomy 24 provides the background to why a divorce certificate was being issued, because of the hardness of man's heart. And what we want to do today is not focus on the principle of being married. We want to focus on the principle of how many excuses can I have to get out of the marriage. And so Jesus horrifies them by saying, if you get married, that's it, you're married. The disciples were horrified. So he takes it further. Okay, if there's marital unfaithfulness, if there's adultery, and if you've read other parts of Scripture, and that's not all that's there, so before you want to jump up and beat me up, the Bible's got a lot to say about these things. The Apostle Paul, when he went to the Corinthian church, found a whole new experience when he was taking the gospel to the mission of the world, and talks about believers being married to unbelievers and all sorts of other things that are going on. But we as a community want to focus too much on excuses to get out of marriage. We don't focus enough on reasons to stay committed. And then we see the pain that comes from that brokenness. And our community has suffered, and there are people here who have suffered, who are suffering. And right now, in some relationships, the orange light is on. It's flashing. And what are you going to do? Are you going to take any notice of it? Or are you going to ignore that the warning light is there? Sit up. Take notice. Be aware of what you're doing. The disciples found this hard to take, and we today also find it hard. Jesus wants to say to people, as he did then, you cannot get rid of your wife for any reason. And ladies, you cannot get rid of your husband for any reason. You don't need me to tell you how we are in a disposable society, how we just dump things all the time. Jesus wants us to know, be aware of what's going on around you. I've counseled people to leave their husbands when I've seen domestic violence. I haven't found that in Scripture. I've seen men beat their children. And I've said to ladies, you must get them out. We're confronted with a whole range of things today. But Jesus' point, my friends, to me and to you, is if you're married, we must work at it. Every day. Not every week, every day. And maybe some of you today have to change and repent. Then do it. Maybe one of you or both of you need to say sorry. Then do that too. And maybe one of you or both of you in your relationship have to forgive. And as hard as it might be, do it. The consequence is far too hard. So what are some of the things we can focus on? On my desk at work, I have a photo of my wife looking at me all the time. Fantastic. No matter where I go, I come back and say, hi honey, how are you going? Good to see you. Very helpful. I used to race motorbikes and used to love buying motorbike magazines. In today's world of news agencies, sadly, motorbike magazines are in the section that you have to walk past that have other types of magazines. Now, I know I'm a trustworthy man, but I don't trust myself. So I don't buy them anymore. I don't even bother anymore. Depending where you're at with your likes and dislikes, you have to work it out. I teach my sons the same thing. I don't start anything with any other spouse or any other wife. I don't get emotionally caught up. And blokes, you really need, if you're married, you really need to listen to your wife's advice here, because I think they see things very early on in a relationship that you might not be attentive to. And if they say, I think you're spending too much time with Mary, then actually I think you need to listen to that and think, there's a lot being said here. Don't spend time alone with the opposite sex. I have a saying, a man who meets with another woman alone has no brains. Don't do it. Don't get behind closed doors and think it's okay. Drink from your own spring, Proverbs 5 tells us. Wonderful advice. Are you negative and miserable to be around? I wonder how many married people here today, you come home and your wife's miserable, oh, and your husband's a pain in the neck. Don't answer that and don't respond. Would you try and get a bit of life into you? Would you actually try and realize what you've got and treasure that? Work harder on your thought life. Remember, adultery is not the act. It's what happened way before that. And recognize, as I said, you will get caught. And the best time to stop being disobedient is today. It is all that serious. There may not be anyone who's cheating on their spouse in this room, but I'm sure there are people here today who are cheating on God. Has your heart and mind wandered from God? And if you've suffered, and if you're suffering today, and if you're in pain and experiencing a terrible situation, or if you've been divorced and you've gone through that painful thing, it's very important to realize that when you come to Christ, you find forgiveness. I can't change what you've gone through. I can't amend any of that. And if you're going through difficult times today, my friends, you'll only find hope personally in Christ. But you must be honest enough to admit, I need to deal with this today. I need to respond today, or I lose it all. In Christ we have hope. In Christ we have strength. In Christ we can do all things. Let us pray that he will guide us in that way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a gracious God. We thank you that you give us the strength to survive. Father, be with those people today who are struggling. Just help them through this moment of need and crisis. And for the rest of us, Father, help us be reminded of what we have. May we treasure that in Jesus' name. Amen.